Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter number 12, if you would please. Acts chapter number 12. I have no idea. This is where the Lord directed. And I traveled for 12 weeks, and I never preach the same message anywhere I go. It's always different because the Spirit of God knows what this church needs. I don't have a clue. I got thousands of sermons. I don't know what you need, but the Lord does. And this is where he's directed us tonight. And so somebody here tonight needs to be encouraged, or maybe, you know, you just need to be exhorted, or maybe you need to be rebuked. I don't know. We're just going to preach the Bible tonight. And I want to encourage you about this subject, prevailing prayer. If you're able to stand, I'm going to ask if you'll stand with me in honor of the Word of God as we read it. If you're not, please remain seated tonight. Acts chapter 12. And I'm just going to read the first five verses, but we are going to get down a little bit deeper in the chapter. But I want you to notice this here in verse number 1 of Acts 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now notice this, there's no incidentals in the Bible. There's a parenthetical thought that's inspired of God. Then were the days of unleavened bread. That's not unimportant. I'll tell you why here in just a moment. And when he'd apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quintarian of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, this is where we're going to be tonight when we get to where we're going to be. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Father, I thank you tonight for this group of people that has come and assembled here. I thank you for the pastor that leads this church. And I pray now that in these next few moments, as we look at this particular passage, I certainly pray the Holy Spirit of God would just infuse me tonight with strength to be able to preach and help me to say only that what I need to say tonight to clearly communicate the truth that I believe that you want to be preached tonight in this pulpit. And I pray that you would speak to every individual heart. I pray that you would do the work that only you can do. And I pray that you would just do the spiritual surgery that we need in our individual lives tonight. We'll thank you for all that you do now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing this evening. The Herod here of Acts chapter number 12 was Herod Agrippa I, and he reigned from 37 to about 44 A.D. He was the grandson of Herod the Great that you read about in Matthew chapter number 2. Now, despite being raised and educated in the city of Rome, Herod Agrippa I was always on shaky ground with the Romans. He ran up numerous debts in Rome. He fled to Palestine. He left a lot of angry creditors behind, and they were upset with him. He made some very unwise comments about the emperor, and Tiberius put him in prison. But he was released from prison after Tiberius died, and then he was made ruler of northern Palestine. You read about this, Luke chapter 3, verse number 1. And Judah and Samaria were eventually added into that province in about 41 A.D., He ruled the largest territory of Palestine since Herod the Great about 50 years earlier. And the reason I go into this is simply for this. Because of his tenuous relationship with Rome, it was imperative that he maintain the loyalty of his Jewish subjects. That's why all that's important, because he needs to have loyalty here. And one of the ways that he found favor to find with the resident Jewish authorities was to attack these people called Christians. They really liked that. They didn't like these Christians here. And so the Bible says that Herod, he took James, the brother of John here, and he killed him with the sword. And that pleased the Jews, according to what the Bible said. They said, oh, this is great. So he said, I'll tell you what, let's just go all out and let's just get Peter too, and let's take him out and we'll take care of him as well. Peter was the leader of the believers here at this time, the Christians, and they said, we've got to take care of this man. We've got to get rid of him. And so the Bible says that Herod apprehended Peter. He put him in prison. He surrounded him with about 16 soldiers to keep him until after Easter. And if you got a Bible that says Passover, it sold you up the river like Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, because that's not Passover. Right. It's Easter. Right. It is the Feast of Easter. How do you know that, Harold? You remember that parenthetical thought there in verse 3? Because the days of unleavened bread came after the Passover, not before. There's a reason you need to always trust your Bible. I'm talking about your King James Bible, and you're welcome. I'm just telling you, Herod was not a Jew. He was a pagan, and he was looking forward to this feast called Easter. So not only was Peter guarded by these 16 soldiers, not only did he have two chains about him, not only did he have keepers that were watching over him, not only was he behind an iron gate. Not only that, he was behind two wards. What does that tell us? Tells us this, that Herod wasn't taking any chances on this man escaping. But I want you to notice verse number 5. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So in the time that I have tonight, I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to get right to it. There are four truths that I want to call to your attention about prevailing prayer. So I want you to think about this first of all tonight. I want you to think about the ministry of prevailing prayer. The emphasis in this context here tonight is on how securely Peter is guarded. But prayer was made. And think about this. Herod had closed all the doors round about Peter. All the prison doors were secured here. But there was one door that he couldn't shut. And that's the door to heaven. And no man and no dictator can ever shut the door to heaven. And I am thankful that when all the other doors round about me might be tight, they might be closed, I am sure thankful to God Almighty that there's one door that the Herods of this world cannot shut. Because sometimes, just let's be honest, we can get in a prison of depression, or maybe a prison of despair, or maybe we feel like there's no way out and we're at the end of a tunnel, no way out. I'm here to tell you, for the child of God, there's always a way out. For the individual that knows how to pray and how to get a hold of God, and there's always a way to get out. And notice this, prayer was made. I love this. This is an original with me. Prayer can do anything that God can do, and God can do anything. Now stop and think about that. The only thing that lies beyond prayer is that which lies beyond the will of God, ladies and gentlemen. And I just want to say this real quick tonight, that you and I, as a child of God, just like this New Testament church did here, we have the privilege to pray. We have the privilege. I've got it here. I put it right here. Where did I put it? I put it right here. That's not to just put in your Bible there and take it home and say, well, that looks pretty. That's to take it home and go over it every day. And think about what's on this list, and think about those that have illness and those that need to be saved, and for those in your church, and for those, God help us, in the government, and for others, and for expecting mothers, and other prayer requests of our missionaries, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you, that is so very important. We have the privilege to pray. And listen, when we don't pray, we sin. Now let me just help you here real quick. The Bible says, and Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, he said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when we don't pray, and especially for others, we're sinning. We're sinning. Let me help you out here. It's right here in your prayer list. Pray for those that need to get saved. Pray that the Spirit of God will direct them to come in here to this place to assemble together, to sit under your pastor and hear the word of God as it's preached. Because I'll just tell you right now, please listen to this. As much as your pastor is prepared and studied and prayed up to preach, he can't do it by himself. He's got to have people sitting out here in the pews that are prayed up and in connected with heaven, so that when a lost sinner comes in, they'll feel the conviction of the Spirit of God. The music will get a hold of them. The Holy Ghost of God will get a hold of them. The Word of God will get a hold of them. But that's not going to happen because we work magic. It's going to happen because God's people pray. There's people need to get saved. There are people, no doubt, in this church tonight, people assembled here. There are people that have special needs. Maybe you've got burdens. Maybe somebody knows you're burdened about somebody. Maybe a financial struggle. Maybe they're suffering physically. Maybe they have some kind of emotional stress. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there are people in churches tonight, they just need somebody to pray for them. They need somebody to lift them up and talk to the throne of grace. That's what this church did here. They're praying for Peter that God would deliver him. We're going to say more about that in just a moment. I'm telling you something else. Here's something I do every day. I've done this for a long, long, long time. I pray for my children, and I pray for my grandchildren. And I pray God will watch over them, and I pray God will protect them, because I'm here to tell you there's all kinds of peoples and all kinds of practices and all kinds of philosophies out here that are bombarding. Listen, I got 10 grandkids. I'm telling you, this world is a wicked, perverted world. I'm just praying God will put a hedge around them and keep them safe and keep them going. I'll tell you, you know what else you need to pray for? I'm going to park here for just a second, okay? And I'm not saying that nobody does this, because I think there are probably people here that do. But I'm going to tell you who you really need to pray for. You need to pray for the man of God. My pastor is Jason Gaddis. I pray every day, God, deliver him from people that have evil, wicked motives. Because there are people got evil, wicked motives. I pray every day, God, help my pastor to have wisdom to know how to deal with all the issues that he's facing as a pastor. I'm praying from God to give him wisdom. I'm praying God will give him good health spiritually, physically, mentally, as he studies and he prays and he prepares to preach the word of God, because the devil's doing everything he can to try to stop the man of God. Your preacher needs that. You need to pray for him and his wife and his family, because the devil's doing everything he can to try to destroy them. I pray that my pastor every day. You ought to be praying for your pastor every day. You got Sunday school teachers in this room tonight. You need to be praying for them as they stand up and teach little children and teach junior church and whatever they teach. You need to be praying that God will help them. Is everybody listening to this? Because I'm telling you, there's nobody in this church that doesn't need somebody praying for them. Yeah. And I'm just telling you that when we don't take the time to pray, we're sinning against the Lord. This church took the time to pray for Peter to get out of jail. But let me just remind you of this tonight. The Bible commands, it's not a suggestion. The Bible commands that we pray. Let's see. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. If I don't have this written down, if memory serves me right, that particular word that's used there in that passage for pray without ceasing was used of someone that had a hacking cough in that culture. And what does somebody do when they have a hacking cough? They cough repeatedly. They coughed often. So it doesn't mean, please listen, it doesn't mean you go around all the day, I'm praying, I'm talking to God. That's not what it's talking about. But I'm telling you, even from the motel over here to the church tonight, there were things that were going through my mind, and I was taking some things to the throne of grace, and I was talking to God. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be in a bedroom to pray. You can be praying down the road as long as you keep your eyes open. That might be kind of serious if you close your eyes, but I'm just saying we need to pray without ceasing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we need people to pray each and every day. May I say this to you also, that prayerlessness is the open door for all other sin. Let's see. Mark 14, verse 38, Jesus said to the disciples, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I'm struggling with temptation. Pray. Talk to the Lord. He knows your flesh is weak. fact, there's over there, I think in Psalm 103, I think that's where it's at. He knows our frame. He knows what we're made of. He knows what we can take. And someone has said that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saints upon their knees. And hey, you know why some people lost their temper? Because they didn't pray. You know why somebody mouthed something they shouldn't have mouthed? Because they didn't pray. I'm just telling you, if we don't pray, I mean, maybe you're more spiritual than me, and maybe that's good. But I pray every day, God, I need to watch here before this old thing called my mouth, my tongue. I get in trouble. I need my lips. I need a guard set before my lips every day. Well, how are you going to do? I'm going to ask God to help me not to offend people with my mouth. How are you going to do that every day? I guess you're perfect. No, I fail a lot. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I don't always do right. But I'm just telling you, if we don't pray, it opens a lot of other doors. One more thing here, and I'm going to move on. I'm talking about the ministry of prevailing prayer here. Prayerlessness is simply this. It is an indication of our pride. We, God help, I don't think we would ever get up and say, Lord, I'm doing real good today. I don't think I need you today. Just go and live my life. We would never say that. But we practice it when we get up and we go about our daily business and we've not taken time to sit down before the Lord and to go over some things and ask God for his help and for the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us and direct us in our individual. Is everybody listening to this? I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to pray. This church knew how to pray. There was the ministry of prevailing prayer. Number two, I want you to see this right here in verse number 5. I want to major on this here. I want you to notice the manner of prevailing prayer. So notice several words there in verse number 5. We're going to take it apart. I want you to look at it. Notice that this church prayed without ceasing. So I'm going to use that two different ways here. I believe it's right here in the text. Number one, I believe that's the frequency of their praying. They prayed without ceasing. Verse 7 states that this prayer, we'll come to this in just a moment, was answered at the last minute. And many times the Lord meets us at the very point of desperation. How am I going to get through this? What decision do I need to make? And listen, these believers kept praying until they received what they were praying for. They kept it up. We ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to be frequent in our prayers. And let me say this to you. I know it's trite. People say it all the time. But God's delays are not God's denials. In the book of Daniel chapter 10, and I believe it's somewhere in that passage, I think it's verse number 12, that Daniel's been praying for 21 days. And the angel shows up and said, Daniel, we heard you on day one. But we couldn't get through. Because of satanic interference. You read the passage, that's exactly what it's talking about. And they had to come. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if we could put on spiritual glasses tonight and look around at the spirit world, you know what? We'd probably lose our mind. Because there's a battle that goes on. And there's a battle. And how are we going to do it? We're going to have to make it. And the only way we can be successful is to pray. They prayed without ceasing. But I want you to know something else about that word ceasing. It also has the idea primarily of fervency. Fervency. By the way, the same word that is translated here without ceasing is used in Luke's account, chapter 22, verse 44, where it is translated more earnestly. Same word. Without ceasing, more earnestly. So it has the idea of being fervent. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's what the book says. With all your heart. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. And the word call is to call out to. I'm just going to help you out here. God does not answer half-hearted lukewarm prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Well, I'll tell you, I prayed that as a kid, and I'm thankful that I did. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I'm just saying to you, there needs to come a time when we get serious. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me, I mean, I've been raised in church my whole life. I went off to Bible college for a year in Tennessee. And I, you know what? Like, you just get around people you're like. I don't know how else to say it. And I was just, I got around these people that all they knew how to do was just shout and praise God and wave hankies. I don't know. That's just around. And we're in a university, a Baptist quote unquote university. And they said, come on, Rocky, come up here. We're going to have a prayer meeting. And we had a prayer tower. Well, not a prayer room. It was a prayer room in a big tower in the church. Hey, come up here. We're going to pray. And I'd never been to a prayer meeting like this. I haven't been in too many, but I like them. They said, we're all going to pray. We all got down and we started praying out loud. All of us together. You thought you was in a Pentecostal meeting. Everybody's talking a different tongue. Oh, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I knew who I was talking to. I was talking to God. Not trying to cause confusion. I'm just telling you, I like it when we're talking to God. And I'm telling you, I can remember, stay with me. I can remember as a teenager, I was visiting a good friend of mine at another church in another state. And I remember we went to an all-night prayer meeting, just me, him, and another individual. And we prayed because we needed God to intervene in the situation in that church. And can I tell you, God came through the next day because we were serious about it. And sometimes I think God's people have a take it or leave it attitude. Wow. Oh. He doesn't do it. I keep praying. And I keep praying. And I keep praying. And I keep praying. That's the idea here. James chapter 5 verse 16 says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've got to be serious when we talk to God. Look at this here. Real quick, look at this. Prayer of the church. Now let's see. I think I remember, I don't know if I can quote this verbatim, but it's in Matthew 18, about verse 19, verse 20. He said, for where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. I know it's dealing with discipline there in that passage. I understand that. But I also know that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Please listen. I don't want to be misunderstood. Because I believe in preaching the word of God. But Jesus didn't say a house of preaching. He said a house of prayer. That's what the book says. That's out of the book of, I think it's out of Isaiah, I believe it is, where it comes, Isaiah or Jeremiah, I can't remember which prophet now. It's one of those prophets. And God said, I want my house to be known as a house of prayer. Now, it ought to be a house of preaching. But Jesus said, it needs to be a house of prayer. If it's a house of prayer, it'd be a house of preaching where God can sit down and work in people's hearts and lives. And I'm telling you, man, it's great. It's good. This church was praying to God. Prayer was made of the church. And the Bible says in James 4 verse 2, you have not because you ask not. Please listen. You know what this church needs? Here's what you need. You need God to show up. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, mission conference, revival, whatever. You just need God to show up. And if there's 10 people sitting here, we need God to show up. We need God. It needs to be a house of prayer. Notice this here. Look at this. Just two little words there. Unto God. Unto God. That's the faith of prayer. I want you to notice this here. That the church's hope was in God. It was not, please listen to this, it was not that Herod would let him go. Their hope was in God. God, you're going to have to get him out. And when we pray, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking not to the ceiling. We're talking to the God that is. We're talking to the God that created everything out there that is in this universe. And I am thankful that prayer was made unto God. Now notice this. I'm going to have to park here for just a second. Look at this in verse 5. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I want you to notice the focus of their prayer. There was one specific request they were asking for. God, get Peter out of prison. That's very specific. May I say to you tonight that when you and I pray, we need to pray for specific requests so that when God answers, we will know He did it. He did it. God is the one to answer prayer. Jesus said in John 14, verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Here's what, now see, I don't know anybody here, so I'm just talking, but I pastored for 26 years, so I know a little bit of what I'm talking about. And I've heard people pray this. And I didn't go down and slap them and say, now quit that. But I hear people say, now Lord, bless all the missionaries out there. How about Tim Drinkard? I think he's on the list. I used to support Tim Drinkard when I was a pastor down and when he's in Panama. And what about getting you some missionaries out here? Because you got a wonderful missionary display out here, all the missionaries. And it was really neat. The pastor told me that some you're adopting people. You ought to pray for them every day. I got a prayer book. That's the only thing I know to call it. It's got lots of names in it. And about, I'm on my third page now of missionaries that I personally know that I pray for every day by name because I need God to bless those missionaries. And God needs to use those missionaries on the land, on the continent, wherever they're at, because they're not going to get the job done unless God shows up. Well, we'll just work our magic. We don't have any magic to work, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just here to tell you, you can have, I'm going to say this, you can have churches packed out from one end to the other end, and God may not be there, but people say, look how successful we are. Now, what successful is when you get people that get saved, and lives are being changed, and people are becoming more godly, and they're becoming more holy, and they're becoming more like Jesus Christ. How's that going to happen? Through the Word of God. Through somebody preaching and teaching the Word of God. So they were praying very, very specifically here. So let me just give this to you real quick. Check it out. When the man lost the axe head in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha said, where fell it? You know what he said? I don't know, somewhere over there. He said, right there. Well, what is that? I think that's very specific. Now, maybe you're different than me, and that's possible because I'm different. I have never went into a restaurant and sit down at a nice restaurant and said, just bring me some food. Why don't you do that? Well, I want to, number one, I want to make sure I like it. And most importantly, I want to know if I'm able to afford it. Amen. When my wife goes to the grocery store, she just didn't get a shopping cart and just said, just throw some food in, that'll be good, because I might not like some of that food. And what are you saying? We're specific. Right. We're specific. So let me just zero in on this here, that when we pray, we need to be specific. You need to pray specifically for people that need to get saved. Don't pray, Lord, now bless all those people in that prayer list. They need to get saved. Well, that's good. Start calling them name by name and saying, God, this individual here, call their name. They need to get saved. This individual here, God, they need you to work in their life. God, this individual here, you know the crisis they're going through in their life, and they need you to meet with them. I'm here to tell you, it needs to be very specific. If you went back, don't turn. If you went to Judges chapter 6 tonight, you'd find a man that was very afraid. His name was Gideon. And he asked God, Lord, for that fleece. He asked for the fleece to be wet and the ground dry. And it was so. And he came back and said, I want it to be dry and the ground to be wet. And it was so. You know what that is? That's a specific request. How about one of my favorite miracles of the Bible? Joshua chapter 10, verse number 12. Joshua said, son, stand thou still. And he didn't go down for a whole day. Yeah. You really believe that? Mm-hmm. Don't you know if that happened, then everything. No, wait. Don't take God out of it. Because if you take God out of it, nothing's possible. But when you put God in the equation, everything's possible. and the sun didn't go down for a whole day. What are you saying? I'm saying it's very specific. How about this? And this is one of my favorite ones over here in the book of Genesis in chapter number 24. And you've got Abraham's servant. And he said, now, Lord, I need a bride for Isaac. So won't you have one of these pretty women come out here? And she'll say, drink, and I'll give your camels drink also. And he's asking the God of heaven for a very specific request. And before he gets through praying, Rebecca comes up and said, drink, and I'll give your camels drink also. By the way, if you just think that's nonchalant, that's going to take an hour or two. Yeah. It's not like she just went over there. I don't have time to go into all that. It didn't take 5 minutes. It took an hour or more. Yeah. And she did it. And the servant said, glory, hallelujah. It's in the Hebrew. Glory, hallelujah. The Lord answered my prayer. I'll just tell you, you take what you want to. I believe the Bible. I believe if people prayed that specifically today, I believe God could answer it the same way.
Right.
I don't know where I'm going to go. Well, why don't you read the Bible and ask God to show you who to go to? You're welcome. That didn't cost you anything. All right, how about this? I'm just saying to you, we need to pray specifically. And if you're just saying, forgive me all my sins, you didn't commit all your sins at once. Name them one by one and tell God what you did.
Yeah.
Mercy. So look at this here. Look at this. Number three. So there's the ministry of prevailing prayer. There's the manner of prevailing prayer. Number three. Oh, this is good. The miracle of prevailing prayer. So once you notice a couple things here. Yeah, I got four things I want to show you this. I'll do this quick. I want you to notice, first of all, that this was a late answer as far as human beings are thinking about. Because in just a few hours, Peter is going to be beheaded. But God came at just the right time. And I know you've heard this. God is always on time. He's never late. He's never early. He is always the on-time God. But I'm telling you, as far as Peter was concerned, and as far as this church was concerned, it was a late answer. And sometimes we might think God is never going to answer, but he comes through just when we think it might be late.
Right.
Number two, look at verse 7 and 8. Now look at this. There's a whole lot of Bible truth here. Look at this. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. What does that mean? It means he was sawing logs is what it means. That's incredible in itself when you think about that. He had to wake him up. And he raised him up saying, arise up quickly, and boom, his chains fell off from his hands. Now notice verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, cast thy garment about thee. Follow me. And he went out and followed him. Stop right here. I want you to notice something here. I tell this to young people all the time. This was a leisurely answer. Now, what do you mean by that, Harold? Well, I want you to notice this. Stop, I meant to say this well. Here's a man that's about to die, and he's sleeping peacefully. So Peter obviously has the peace of God ruling his heart. I don't know that I could do that. I would like to think, you know, if I was real spiritual, I could do that. I'm going to die in a few hours. But he was. Now, would you notice something? I tried to emphasize this here as I read this. He took the time to get his sandals on. He took the time to put on the garment. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this man is not escaping. He's being delivered. And here's the truth I want you to see. This is so good. The Holy Spirit will never stampede you into anything. He'll lead you. And if you feel pressured to do it, you can mark it down. That's probably not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I can say this, and I'm going to tell on myself. You know when I made dumb decisions as a pastor? When I felt the pressure to do so. And it ended up costing me a couple times. I wasn't being led. I felt the pressure from people. You need to do this. You need to do this. And I'm here to tell you, if you're feeling pressure, I've got to make a decision. Don't do it. Because God's Holy Spirit is not going to press you and stampede you, but he will lead you. And I get it right from that verse, because he's not escaping, he's being delivered. Notice this here. Boy, this is good, because this is Bible. I want you to notice this here. Look down verse number 10. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Can I tell you that God's answer to this prayer was a limited answer? Because prayer can do anything, but it doesn't do everything. Somebody says, I don't know if I understand what you're saying there. The angel did everything that Peter could not do for himself. But when Peter got to the place where he could open the gate, he opened it of his own will. Wonder if there's anything we could learn from that. I think it's this. God will never do for you what you're capable of doing for yourself.
Yeah. Good.
No, there's some things. Okay, stop. Look up here. You're going to say, that's stupid, Harold, but it makes my point. There's a green light up there. Dear Heavenly Father, should I go through that green light or should I wait for it to turn red? See, I live with people in Oklahoma and they do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. If God gave you a brain and that's where it came from, God's giving you enough common sense to know it's green, go through it.
Yeah.
And yellow means speed up.
Yeah.
And red means stop. Doesn't mean go through it. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Prayer doesn't do everything. But there's some things only God can do. And you have to do the rest. And then notice this here. Boy, I'll tell you something else about this answer. It was a learning answer. It's a learning miracle. Would you look down here? I love this. I love this. Look at this. So, verse 13. Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened up the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Peter's outside here. And they said, you're crazy. You're mad. No, he's out here at the gate. And they said, oh no, it's his spirit. He's died. No, don't make the Bible boring. It's not. It's very exciting here. And notice verse 16. What did Peter have to do? He continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they went, it's Peter.
Yeah.
And you know what they learned? They learned that God answered prayer. Now, don't act like you've never done that. Because
right.
I have. And my pastor always used to say this. He said, it was harder for Peter to get in a prayer meeting than it was for him to get out of jail. But he got in. Had to be persistent. And you know what this church learned? God answers prayer.
Yeah.
So let me leave you with this. And we're going to land the plane tonight. What is the message of all this? What is the message? And here's what I want to encourage you with. Here's what I want you to take home tonight. If you're not doing this. So I was over here at Lakewood Monday night. We're leaving next day to come up this way. And a young man, his name is Ernesto. He's going to Bible college in, I think, a year from now when he graduates. And he came up to me and he said, Bro Rocky, I have one question I'll ask you before you leave. He said, what can I do that will help me to keep my walk with God fresh? And I said, I'm going to tell you, it's a really simple answer, but it's very difficult. It's called discipline. That's all it is. See, here's what we do in modern Christianity. Our body tells us when to get up. Our body tells us when to eat. Our body tells us all, instead of we telling our body what it will do. There's nothing in my body, not one thing in my body that says, glory to God, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, it's time to get up. Hallelujah. I don't work that way. But when I'm teaching a 7:30 class, and that's coming up this semester, I'm up at 4:30 every day. Why you do that? because I got to start my day on purpose with God. Because if I don't start my day on purpose with God, then I'm not going to be what I need to be in the classroom. And I'm not going to need what I need to be even to the students. And I'm not going to be the Christian that I need to be. And why do you do that? Because I learned the discipline to pray. So let me leave you with this. It's very practical. It's something that God taught me 25 years ago. I don't have time to get onto that. So here's what you need. If you don't have it, you need to set time every day when you pray till it becomes a habit in your individual life. You need to set time. Make your prayer time a daily routine, a habitual practice, a way of life. And if you say, I don't have time to do that, well, I left my phone in my wife's purse. But I'll tell you, we got plenty of time on phones and iPads and TVs and all entertainment stuff. What we need is a prayer time that has a priority with Almighty God, where we get up on purpose and we say, I'm going to spend time with God before I start my day. Amen. Now, I would think there are people in this room already do that. But I would think there might be somebody that doesn't do that. And I'm not saying you don't pray. Please listen. Oh, mercy. I'm trying to land this plane here. Listen to me. I was a pastor for 5 years, and it doesn't mean that I didn't pray, because I did, but it was 5 years as a pastor. It was 4 years as an assistant. So I've been in the ministry 9 years full time before I finally figured out how to really pray. But I figured it out. And you need to set time. And now it's hard on the summertime, but anyway, I got my practice down. But when I first started this, I had a place to pray every day. I have a man cave. What is it? Well, my wife's invaded with the piano and some stuff like that, but it's my man cave. We call it my man cave. And I sit in there and I read my Bible, and when I'm home, and I spend time before the Lord every day. Is everybody listening to this? How are we going to do that? Well, this, and I'm done. Make it a steady habit. I don't know. Well, nobody here does this. Nobody does this. But watch people out at the store. They don't even know what they're doing. That's a cigarette, if you didn't know what I'm doing. It's a habit. Now, if you can form bad habits, you can form good habits. And I've read, and I'm not alone in this, that if you do something the same way, the same day, and the same time, every day, if you'll do it for 39 to 45 days, take your pick, it'll become a habit. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't get up and just, all right, now I got to go. I love my relationship with my Lord, but I didn't start this way after Bible college. It took 9 years in full-time ministry before I finally figured this out. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade places with anybody for what I got. Amen. And I'm asking you tonight this. Do you have that discipline in your life? Because that's the message. This church prayed and prayed and prayed, and God gave them an answer. And if you're praying, 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 then for heaven's sake, don't give up. Amen. Keep on praying. If you're praying, you say, Brother Rocky, I'm already doing that. Keep it up. Don't quit. But if you're not, it's time to get started. Because prevailing prayer is what Bellingham Baptist Church needs if it's going to accomplish the work of God. You got Bible school coming up. We need God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you so much for your kind attention to the Word of God tonight. Thank you so very much. I'm just going to ask a couple of questions. I'll turn over to the pastor.